Welcome to Femin Tokyo, a podcast for Japanese women and social minorities to share their stories about Japan.
Episode 17, You Better Fit In. Hi, Elena, how are you?
Hi.
Yeah, all good?
Yeah, all good.
Thank you for welcoming me to your apartment. This is the first time I'm actually coming to your place, so... I'm really lucky that you can house the episode today so that we don't have to bother about going to a cafe or anything. So we know each other now for quite a few years, and I don't remember how we first met. Do you remember how we met?
I think that maybe I fangirled you about the podcast, can be?
If that's the case, then it was probably the opposite. It was probably you involved with Voice of Japan or something like that that happened. But one thing is for sure is that feminism brought us together.
Absolutely.
And every time that we meet each other, that's what we talk about the most. And today, what we're going to talk about is fatphobia. This is really a topic that we've been wanting to address for a long time. So I feel like now is a good moment to launch the topic.
So I'm a fat woman. That's probably the first thing that you're going to notice. Even if I'm in Japan, in the States, in Europe, the first thing that you're going to say, wow, this person is really fat. So it's something that I should start to reclaim. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to reclaim the word for what it is, which is just one meaning. So that's the first thing I want to share today.
Right.
I think not always I define myself like that. Mm-hmm. I usually say things like, yeah, I'm being feminist for almost more than half of my year, probably. My years. I have like a mixed background. Mm-hmm. I'm half Japanese, half Spanish. I've been also like really involved in feminism in Spain and also in Japan here as a Voice of Japan member for almost more than 4 years right now. So these are the things that I usually tell about myself, and probably fat is not one of them.
Right.
But I think that today is the right day to say so.
It's the topic, right? So,
yeah.
You know, myself, I'm definitely not on the slim side. I'm definitely quite, there's a lot of words for that, but curvy, I guess. I feel like we're really both in a good position to talk about what we want to talk about today. What we had next in line was kind of trying to, that's exactly what I was saying, is trying to find a definition for what fat phobia exactly is, which I was telling you earlier that I'm a bit insecure about the word, really, fat phobia, because in French we use grossophobie, which is a bit different. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about fat phobia? What would you say about it?
I mean, fat phobia, like, we can Google the definition of that. Probably that's not why we want to talk here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think fat phobia is, like, as probably the word means, like, a phobia for fat people. It's not like you are scared of fat people because they're going to do something to you, but it's... the scare of you being fat or someone being fat, like, what are the implications of that? Because it's probably one of the closest fears for any woman in any part of the world, like being fat, being categorized as that is something really common to any of that, because how is associated with
how it's perceived.
Yeah.
I think I would agree with that definition of saying yourself being scared of becoming what is considered as being fat in the society. And I think it also encompasses a little bit of discrimination against people who are overweight.
Yeah, I think that like weight bias probably will be the better word to like explain the systematic
discrimination
we face. And it really goes deep down. It's a systematic thing, so it's not like someone is just harassing you. It starts with in the work, in the school, in the medical facilities. Like, you have that bias that it probably is as any type of discrimination, very rooted deep down.
And just what you were saying, just the medical institutions, now that you're saying it, it comes back to me that me being curvy, a bit overweighted, one of the first thing that the doctors say to me in Japan or in France is lose weight. Anything, any kind of health problem I get to them, the first thing they say is, it's your weight.
Yeah, and it's so systematic. Like, most people, they found that, I think, like, it was in 2016, something like that, in the United States, almost 35, 40 people of those who are overweight or obese.
Mm-hmm.
After that, when they opened their bodies to medical purposes, they found out that they were like underdiagnosed of many things. It's like we probably, most of the listening people are like kind of related to feminism.
Mm-hmm.
So probably it's pretty common that you hear that many doctors, when you go to like, hey, I have menstrual pain, and they say, oh, but just try one painkiller, it's just not a big hassle, and then you end up like finding that you have, I don't know,
endometriosis.
Yeah, endometriosis.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's something that we it probably resonates, but it applies to overweight. So I can go to the ophthalmologist and they say, hey, you should lose weight.
Oh,
I went to dermatologist and they say, like, your eczema is because you are overweight. It could be one cause. I'm not going to deny your expertise, but you can imagine that I cannot lose my weight from here to 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. I'm not that. I'm way over that weight. It was half a year treatment and he said, this is all because you're fat. That was the answer.
One of the topics I wanted to speak with you is to discuss a little bit how we can observe the fat phobia and the weight bias in Japan specifically, because we're here to talk about Japan. One thing that really shocked me when I first arrived to Japan, I stopped watching them a little bit right now, but I watched a lot of bangumi, a lot of shows, you know, on the TV. And I was really struck by the amount of fun and mockery that there was about fat people. There are a couple of overweight fat comedians in Bangumis, very famous people. One of them would be, what's her name again? Naomi?
Watanabe
Naomi, yeah. And back in the days when I arrived in Japan 10 years ago, she was still a comedian. She was not the fashion icon she is today. And I don't care how much money they make out of it, those comedians. But what we see on screen is fat people being really mocked for being fat. One thing that really shocked me was one time, one episode where they were wearing really tight clothing, sort of like sportwear kind of thing, and they were filmed in slow motion doing sport activities like running or something like that. And the cameraman was zooming in onto their bellies or onto their arms, watching it in slow motion jiggle, and that was the laugh. That was the joke of the bangumi. So I think this is one of the things that shocked me the most when I arrived.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it seems, probably it's not only in Japan, but I feel that it's more strong, and probably because we are still many years behind. Like, you don't see overweight, you don't see obese, you don't see fat persons, people on the TV, unless they are comedians, or unless they are like the comedic person on the TV series.
Yeah.
So if you are not there for making people laugh, you don't belong there. That's clearly the message I got when I was young. Probably that's the message that many of us get. Just your body being the amusement of people is kind of shocking, because it's not even your weight, it's not even your jokes. It's like you just existing as the target of laughs.
Yeah, I think that's what shocked me the most, is that it seems normal. And on the Japanese TV, I don't know, I'll be honest on that, I don't know nowadays, the bangumi, if they evolved a little bit. But 10 years ago, that means that entire generations grew up seeing that fat people were a subject of mockery and that it was okay. You know, one bangumi that I was watching a lot was, what was it called? Itekyu, I think, something like that.
Yes.
With like Imoto-san, with a lot of like famous comedians. And there were those three women who
Morisanchu,
yeah, Morisanchu. Exactly. And those three women are all overweighted, and they were the jokes, like so many jokes. And really, Itekyu, I watched a lot of episodes about it because I really liked the show. And so many jokes were running about those three women being in tight clothes, doing dumb faces.
I think that one of the things that really stuck with me recently is that I don't remember her name, is one recent comedian, and she is fat. And she said that she was not there on the television to be mocked by her like weight. And so she said that she was refusing, for example, like what is called shokuripo, like so popular in TV Japan. It's like people eat food and say, this is, amazing.
Oishi.
Fantastic, yeah, oishi. Yeah, yeah. So she said that she was there for like doing those reports.
Yeah, sure.
It was just about the food and not about the amount of food. Because she said, like, I'm fat, but I don't eat too much. So I'm not there for, like, proposing, like, a show of how much food I can eat. It's, I can transmit the food flavors and how the people receive it. That's all. what you can expect from me. And I think that she said that on like a really popular TV show. It was casualty because I don't have TV in my house. So probably I was somewhere else. And really, it's okay, we have changed a little bit. Not too much, but we have changed a little bit.
Right.
And there are like many women who are comedians, probably the first chance because they use their weight, they use their looks as a joke. But now that they have the power to say no, they say no.
Yeah,
but
that was they're really changing things. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's one positive thing that we can say right now.
That's how it starts, right? The representation in the media is so important. Yeah. Like when you see, when you have a little kid somewhere, maybe a little kid who's a bit overweight or something, if they see something like that in the TV of fat people being made fun of, then not only does that affect them, but also their little, the other kids at the school are going to think that it's okay also. Because like half of the kids I know that are of young age wants to be comedians later. So like they're going to follow the models of the comedians on the screen. So seeing that changing is really, I think, very positive. What you were describing before, the whole like oishi moment, is actually a bangumi style in Japan that's very popular of dispatching famous people to go to local little shops and local little restaurants and having them try local dishes. And yeah, it's quite famous because they zoom in onto the food held with ohashi, with the chopsticks. And then the person eating it always has the same reaction of ecstasy and being like, oh, oishi, you know, super good. The women, especially, always have the same reaction. Men are a bit more like, yeah, ume, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, who are not too familiar with the bangumis of Japan, that's a very popular style of bangumi here.
I mean, you can use your weight to gain jokes, but if you're included in that, if you are, like, gaining power over that, for example, when gay people do jokes about gay people, it's like you can laugh with them. Mm-hmm. One thing is laugh with them, another thing is laugh about them, of them.
Yeah.
It's a totally different thing. Probably for any category that is discriminated, is there for mockery of
foreigners too. Actually, Gaijin is the same. There's a couple, especially 10 years ago, there were a couple of Gaijin who were displayed on TV and same being like subtitled with katakana, with dumb Japanese, you know, so.
You still have those bangumis, like the one where they ask foreign people like what they came to do in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
Ah, that one's a classic. It's like, I don't know, eat sushi and sing karaoke, I guess. But yeah. So definitely the bangumi is one thing. Then the other representation I had was advertising. I feel like if you go to European countries right now, there's, you can call it ethical washing or something. You don't know how true those companies are at doing the representation that they're doing. But every time I go back to France, I'm struck at seeing so many brands trying to put more different body types, racial representation for sure. In Japan, this is absolutely not happening anywhere. The representation of different body types in fashion brands and advertising is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, it surprised me. In Western countries, for example, for makeup, we went to beautifully super conventional standardized beauty people, usually white people, to have different skin types, then to have different body types, and then to include men, for example, right? Japan just jumping right to the men. So it's like, well, we have been skipped.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that is happening in Japan right now, the cosmetics. Yeah. They are advertising more and more cosmetics for both men and women.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite positive. But yeah, where are the different body types? They skipped that step entirely.
Yeah, like you're putting like Otani Shohei for like skincare products and then like really good looking type of idols. It's great that you have more variety on the makeup, so you can include many people on that. But also, if there was a world where we don't need makeup other than for fun, it would be amazing. Other thing that it was really discouraging, it was like ASICS, the Japanese company of sportswear, they did a campaign, I think it was in the United States, maybe also in Europe, about exercising. Like, exercising is good for everyone, so it doesn't have to be just for thin, athletic people. So they put a bunch of normal people, like all men, all women, people with disabilities, like any type of people in the ads with their ASICS sneakers and saying something like, yeah, exercising is good for everyone. That campaign doesn't exist in Japan.
I was so happy to see when I went back to France, I saw one of my favorite underwear lingerie shop having literal mannequin with different body types.
Oh, like, that's not amazing. Just,
right? It was so unusual for me that I actually kind of stood shocked in front of him. I was like, wow, that's great. I was so happy. It looked a lot like my body, you know?
Yeah.
And Japan is really not following on to that trend.
No.
Like, all absolutely. The fashion advertisement, the shops, the H&M, the everything is absolutely thin models being represented only. Even though fashion is big in Japan.
And even like those brands, they really profit from like other sizes in other countries. Japan is considered thin, but still, I think we do have something like around 30% of overweight people. So it's like those overweight people do exist. Yeah. We do exist. We are there. And they also have like fat people, like obese. And still, we are not like, we don't have representations. Mm-hmm. We are not existent. One thing that happened recently to me was less than 1 year ago. I was riding the train, JR train, Yamanote-sen, for those who live in Tokyo. And one person just yelled at me, "Debu, Debuko-san."
Right.
And for a moment, I mean, I've been used to call Debu, which is fat, but bad meaning. It's you want to do hurt to that people. It's just not being fat as in just an adjective. It's more than that. I've been called that, so I'm very used to respond to that. But it was kind of with mockery, with some, I'm going to quote, humor sense.
Right.
That took me so for surprise that I didn't know how to react. Probably they weren't thinking that I wasn't going to understand them because of how I look. For those who probably don't know, which are the majority, I look like a white woman.
You look like a foreigner,
Yeah. So they don't know that I'm half Japanese. So probably they were not expecting me to understand the joke.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably made with humorous intent between the two of them, but it was more violent than just being yelled fat.
Yeah.
With something that sometimes happens in Japan, and people don't imagine that Japanese people are so quiet, so they're so polite, they respect so the rules, and that's not true, we know that.
Not always, for sure.
It's
human beings before anything else.
Else. And it's a big city, so you have that rudeness associated to big cities. So I've been called and yelled for being pregnant, for being fat. Probably was the first time as an adult to be like mocked in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was really more violent than just being called a type of slur. People don't imagine that what being really fat means. And it's for me, I'm not just overweight. I'm just what you will say obese. I'm way above just being a little bit fat, which means that I don't fit in most of the cases, in most of the spaces.
But you're right to say that in your case, really, when you're in the public space, it does put you in danger because it's a lot more noticeable. Didn't you share it with me before another thing that you were saying about the normal size in Japan, right? That you wanted to point out that it's different from the normal sizes in other countries. Is that the point?
Probably. I mean, it's something that probably you said before about the sizes, like one size fits all. It's something that is really probably unique. I don't know if it's just Japan, maybe other Asian countries too, but that's not true because Japanese also have like different types of bodies.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you have them ML, so people really small also have struggles in Japan, and people who are really small in Japan are really, really small. And then you have the bigger sizes, and then you can find, I will say, like three brands, almost four websites to buy bigger clothes in Japan. We all fat people know which ones.
Yeah, I know the ones.
And it's wider, but I'm also taller than most of the Japanese women.
It's just not so well cut anyway. Yeah. I've been to those shops as well. I know the one you're talking about. And what I experienced when I tried the cloth there is that if it's big, it's big.
Yeah.
So it's big everywhere. There's no variety to it. If it's big, it's going to be big on the shoulders, on the waist, on the boobs, on the everything. So it's really not fitting at all most of the time.
And it will be shorter.
It'll be short, yeah.
So I'm used to wear all my pants short. I tend to compensate that by buying cute socks.
So in terms of experiences that we've lived in Japan, anything else that you wanted to share quickly?
I don't know. There are many day-to-day struggles that as a fat person I do have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't realize until I'm with someone who doesn't experience those.
Yeah, I was like, that's not normal.
But one recently that made me hate taking planes. When you travel like cheap, sometimes you cannot choose who someone is going to seat. Sometimes you're assigned one seat, you're moved, and you cannot choose your seat.
Mm.
So I tend to always choose corridor side in planes, right, because then I can separate myself from the person who is in my side and do the less harm. So that's what I was doing already. So this person, I was traveling with my partner to Okinawa.
Okay, so Japanese airline.
Japanese airline, which is smaller than Western airlines, even for internal national planes.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, so this person seated on my side and he was all the 4 hours until Okinawa. Debe.
Honto, like a Japanese guy?
Japanese guy. And he
went... The famous Japanese... Yeah.
And he went then to the cabin attendants and they told him that we don't have any free seats.
He complained?
It was so sad. Totally awful. I was trying to not to cry.
Yeah,
because, I mean, at the end, it's 4 hours of a man and that is saying, debe. My partner was so surprised because he was sitting in a different seat. That person on my side went to complain and he was listening and he realized that he was talking about me, Debu Gaijin, and he didn't believe what was happening. But I have been telling this to my partner for a long time. It's really hard to notice when you are not the target. So I was saying, yeah, it's I need to be seated on the corridor. It's the only seat that I can accept.
On that one with that guy, you were not on the corridor?
I was in the corridor. So I was just on the other side trying to squeeze myself.
Space. Yeah, okay.
Like, I don't eat in planes unless I have my partner on my side or unless we have a middle seat in between. I don't eat. I don't drink. I don't open my book. I don't open my phone. So my legs are always stiff, just not because of the plane, because I'm trying to squeeze myself in the smaller place. I've been seeing like many foreigners advocates that say places should be more inclusive, but that hits the peak probably in Japan. Mm. Any place that has narrow seats, narrow corridors, like those izakayas,
Everything is narrow in Japan, are you kidding? Like the freaking Village Vanguard, which is one of my favorite shop in Japan, where you can buy so many dumb stuff, is like a normal body standards Japanese person barely fits in there. Or the freaking, what is it called? Kaldi. Kaldi has super narrow alleys. Even Japanese people cannot fit in there without brushing against each other and everything. Yep. Everything is narrow in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like when I go to places, I usually have to check on the internet, like how is the place inside?
Mm.
If there is one seat that I should request to make the less noise possible, because I don't want to go to places, make people uncomfortable. And I also don't want to be uncomfortable because people are like talking in my back and you notice those things. So it's like really stressful because I have to make my everyday. So sometimes I do sit in the train when there is room enough. But if there is not room enough, of course I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to squeeze myself in between someone just in case.
Now that you say that, I had a few times also where I looked at the space and I was like, too big of a gaijin to fit in there. Yeah. I don't want to inconvenience the two Japanese slim person sitting there.
Yeah, then. Probably one thing that really shocked me is that I went to a business trip. I think it was last year or maybe 2 years ago to the United States. I was there for almost 2 weeks. And I think that the first thing I said to my friends online was, I am treated like a human. And they were like, what? Right. What do you mean? And they're like, people sit next to me in trains.
Yeah, that's
because first thing, trains and buses spaces are a little bit bigger than in Japan. And second, like, because people don't want that if we are touching or like tights, they understand that this is a small space and
they don't care.
And it's like, I'm being treated as a human. It was such a relief because I'm not just fat, I'm also tall. For Japanese standards, so I stand out whenever I go.
And you're a foreigner.
And I'm a foreigner. Mm. But if I was in the United States, there are people as fat as me. And there are also people taller than me. And we do have in Western countries weight bias. We do have fat phobia.
Of course, yeah.
But it is not anything close to Japan. And for sure, all the things that you can't find is when you go to onsens, they gave you that pajama, yukata, whatever. I do think that they have to be prepared for inbound.
And when you know yukata, it's just one big piece of clothing. It's not a kimono. Yeah. It's not that hard to have more fabric to it, you know?
You can have also more sizes just available. You don't have to have them, many of them, because you know that we are not...
No, just make free.
Yes,
just make some. And not just the length.
if you want to be welcome to foreigners, you should start to think of that.
We mentioned quickly before, but finding clothes is definitely a struggle.
You wanted to mention like underwear?
Oh, the underwear. I call it the, I wrote it down somewhere. I call it the void black hole. It's like anytime I go to H&M or whatever big cloth shops that we have in Japan, I know because one of my best friends, she's more of a normal size girl, definitely for the breasts, and I have big breasts. And she always goes check. She's like, you know, I just need a white one. I'll just grab whatever at 1,000 yen. It'll be fine. I'm like, right, I forget that the underwear lingerie exists in H&M because for me it's like it's non-existent because I know there's never going to be my size.
Yeah,
the underwear especially at the bottom is really the question. Like sometimes I'm like, okay, for the breast, you know, we can talk about cups and everything. For the bottom, you give me an XL or XXL, I'm like, I can fit one of my butt cheeks in there. It's like, what in what universe is that an XL into your brain? Because me personally, when I wear underwear for the breast, I want support. Yeah. I want to be able to run up the stairs, go into my crazy Tokyo life and be able to
not feel the pain.
Yeah, I need my breast to be, I am all for the no wire thing, but I need support. So what do you do with that?
I ended up with sports bra.
Yeah, the sports bra, right. They're squeezing though. Like, they
but there's like sports bra for doing yoga.
Right, right. That's what you
go for. Less tight. And I ended up being using those. But I mean, in Japan, you cannot show your nipples.
Nope.
Big no.
For both men and women, by the way. Like, the salaryman that I work with at my companies, I was really surprised to see that during the summer, when it's like really hot, where you want to wear the less clothes that you can because it's so hot, they all wear a t-shirt underneath the shirt.
Yeah, always.
So that you don't see the nipples. And obviously, it applies to women as well.
Yeah. Also, one friend of mine told me she's a black person, and she told me, like, that's because white people do have pink nipples. And it doesn't apply to other skin
true
colors.
True that too. Well,
and it was like,
that's true.
Fuck,
too.
This is that's true white too. Privilege.
Yeah, it is. It is part of it. Whatever company, Japanese company you're going to work for, there's something mandatory, which is a health check. It's an annual health check.
Kenko Shindan.
But all the companies I've been at so far have had that Kenko Shindan, the health check. And it's a very general check. They check your eyesight, they check your ears. They do take a bit of your blood. Yeah, they do blood samples.
Yeah, blood samples.
And of course, they check your weight. I've been obese ever since I stepped into Japan by their standards. My friend, my best friend, Italian that I was mentioning before, is a gym freak. She goes to the gym every day. She is fit as hell. She's like the fittest woman I know. She looks amazing and she's obese. Even though when she goes back to Italy, her doctor is calling her because she doesn't have enough fat percentage to her because she's like so fit, right? She's so ripped with muscles and everything. But the muscles weight at the Kenko Shindan in Japan makes her obese. And the problem of that Kenko Shindan is that you get a grade. You get anything between A to whatever, F. Yeah, that's F. I get F most of the time. I get F or E most of the times because of my weight.
Yeah, I have all A's and then...
And then weight.
And then weight.
Yeah, is the F. And the problem is if you're in enough bad health, your company is pressuring you. I had a director in one of my former companies that had very bad results. He had like overall, he was drinking nomikai, smoking... You know, he was doing it all. And because he was quite high in the hierarchy, he got pressured by the company to do the test again 2 or 3 months later to show better results. Because if the company apparently has too many bad results in their employees, then they get some kind of pressure by the government. I mean, and because he was quite high in the hierarchy, he got pressured by the company to do the test again 2 or 3 months later to show better results. Because if the company apparently has too many bad results in their employees, then they get some kind of pressure by the government.
I mean, many years ago, not so many, they were even fines for those companies with unhealthy people. Change it to not to be monetary fined, but the culture is there. They have to still show and they have still warnings if you have many unhealthy people.
Yeah, because then that's the responsibility of the company, right?
Yeah.
And what I heard, and I have no idea if it's true or not, but I heard that some companies can kind of pressure the employees who have bad rates, bad notes, with cutting salaries.
Yeah, I've been seeing that.
Yeah. And that director from my previous company, that's what he was saying. He was saying, I need to cut the nomikai, because if I don't get a better grade at the next test, they're going to cut my salary a little bit.
Oh, I need to lose my bonus.
It's going to be a backlash, right? An obsolete BMI system of like evaluating, you know, the weight for your height.
We know that the BMI system is not...
It's outdated.
It's outdated. It doesn't work. It was not intended even in the beginning to measure these kind of things. It's based on the weight, male scale. Probably it doesn't mean anything about your health status. So like every time you go to the Kenko Shindan, then you have the uniform thing. I always have to bring my clothes, because if they had to make to change the clothes, I know that I'm not going to fit. Mm-hmm. And then I have to discuss with the nurse, like, and they said, we have Eru size doesn't fit me. I'm obese, you can see that.
Do you have every time also to explain and to hear a lecture?
Yeah, probably every time the doctor says, you have to eat less, you have to eat healthy, do exercise. After you have that speech done, then I ask you, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And I say, I count my calories, because that's what I do. From years ago, I took less calories than my basal metabolic rate. I have studied nutrition at university. So technically, I should have been losing weight for many years, because I do consume less than what I should be spending just for existing and breathing. That's not the case. And then I do my exercises. I go to the gym, and they are surprised every time that I told them, like, I do have knowledge of nutrition. I do have knowledge of this, because it was my field of study. One thing, they measure your belly too.
They take your height, and then they do that, right?
The waist, then they calculate the BMI, and they give you the speech. Like, it's an awful procedure.
It's really not helpful at all. No. Like, health check is important and should be provided, but not like that. Every time I went, every time I did it, when it's provided by the company, it was actually on my company's floor, like really at the company. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a meal. It looks like, or just like chicken going through, you know, whatever process they have. It's not personalized at all. It's really, it's made to process as many people in the same mold, right? It's not, they don't treat you as individuals with like specific needs.
And that also happens in schools.
That was
one of my nightmares back then when I was a teenager, because you're there lined up in your underwear with all your female classmate.
Oh my gosh.
And then they measure you and they tape you, and the number of your weight is really screened, because the doctor or the nurse is told that to the person who's taking the logs. So it was just so stressful. It was one of my worst days.
That's awful. I had no idea. So the Kenko Shindan is kind of going on as well in the schools. And all the kids just go through it. And I guess probably doctors were all women and stuff, but even so.
No, it could be men too.
That's not okay. I really hope Japan moved on that and got better. I wonder about nowadays.
Hope so, but I don't believe it has changed that much. Maybe they changed to have female doctors.
Schools. Yeah.
I don't know, but...
Make it individual. Don't get all the kids together, at least. Like, check the health of the kids. That's actually a good idea, but like, not like that.
Or you have to give your Kenko Shindan results to the company sometimes. Or when you move to a new company, you have to...
Sure. I remember that. I had a company actually who asked for it, and I pretending not to understand Japanese. I was like, Nihongo tabenai. It's like, I don't... This has been my card many times to get myself out of some Japanese rules that I didn't want to follow. It's bad, but sometimes you gotta use the discrimination against the system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not, you know. I'm surrounded by women right now who are pregnant or who just had kids. All of them reported at some point to me some sort of fat shaming.
Yeah.
Some sort of doctors. So we can't really talk, both of us, because we don't have kids and we're not pregnant. Mm-hmm. I know from my friends, I've been hearing a lot of doctors really fat shaming them of like, don't take too much weight, which to me is insane when you're like, they're growing an entire new being into their bodies. Let them eat whatever they want. They need to survive. And I have one friend specifically, one woman I know who's quite a bit more of a weight than the rest of my friends, and she was just denied. There are hospitals who are just denying her like to be followed for her pregnancy because she's deemed at risk, and that led her to take the first hospital that would accept her, and it was not a pleasant pregnancy and process at all for her because she didn't choose that hospital. It's just a very negative way to be treated for pregnancy if you're just always being told don't take too much weight.
They want us to be pregnant, they want us to give birth to babies, they don't provide the facilities to do that. Many of the people that listen to your podcast will know that Japan doesn't provide the pain relief when you do childbirth.
Accessible, process as well. It's very expensive to have a kid in Japan. Yeah. Public clinics, maybe public hospitals, it can be a bit better, but a lot of them don't want to go there because then you don't have all the resources that you want to have. So a lot of my friends really prefer to go to private ones where they could have access to free pain birth giving. Yeah, so definitely the fat shaming has been going on with all the friends that I know who have been pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I understand that there are many cases that for many Japanese women, gaining weight affects really their like health overall, especially when they are like pregnant. And so like the weight affects different because you are not, you're Japanese or you have Asian genes, whatever. But that's not the way you have to treat one person who is going to a lot of stress emotionally and physically. Mm-hmm. Like, you're growing a new person inside you. I do have something PCOS or endometriosis because of my family history, these kind of things. It's so scary. And the health check this year, I signed up for doing this gynecologist checked, and they said to me, we cannot take you because you weigh too much. I was honestly, fuck, I don't have access to medicine. Yeah. And I'm trying to lose weight because what I'm most scared of is that I'm going to live there to die because nobody can give me like anything for my health, even if it's not related to my weight.
So but the weight is becoming an obstacle you and the medical institutions.
Yeah, you are denied to the most basic rights, which is access to healthcare, in a country that is supposed to have enough resources to do so. It shouldn't be that difficult to have some places, some equipments adapted to everyone, like especially for those that are public. It should be for everyone. Probably we will fit in most of the equipment in Western countries.
In Japan,
I think that is not the case. But also, I mean, the sizes, I can be 2XL, 3XL in any European country. Probably in America will be one size less.
Yeah.
In Japan, it sometimes has to be 10L.
Yeah. It's the other thing, right? The scale. Same. I think in France, I might be an L or an M when I'm like in my better periods of my life. So definitely not going through burnout like I am right now. So right now I'm definitely an L, and in Japan I'm going to be an XL or more, for sure. The last topic that I wanted to close on was, in your opinion, do you think that times are changing?
Well, I hope that times are changing. I hope that people will be more mindful and open to different body types. I also hope that Japan even just start to be more healthy. Because we know the Japanese people are not on the healthiest side. They don't do that much exercise. They don't do the 5 vegetables a day. They drink a lot and they're unconscious. The job situation is so hard that you have to do so many hours. So nothing is good for your health. Not physically, not mentally. So I hope that with people having more mental and physical spaces within themselves, they're willing to do that the same thing for others. Institutionally, I don't think that Japan is going to be much better in the next years.
I'm gonna let you go because I am always taking a lot of your time when we have our conversations, but
it's
like you really gave me huge insight onto what it is to be in Japan when you're not their definition of what the body standard should be. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to take my Manju Momiji with me, and then I'll see you next time for another 3 or 4 hours long discussion about feminism.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Femin Tokyo. You can find all the information on the Instagram page.
Femin Tokyo Podcast is a team effort. Thank you, Mai Nguyen, for the episode editing and mixing, and thank you, Doria Kriush, for the art cover.